This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswine on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com. Here's your host, Lisa Jesswine.
Hey, everybody. Think about if there's someone who has passed away, who's crossed over, and you are still having a hard time with something emotionally, as far as you wish if you could just sit down and talk to that person and work something through. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing to do? Well, it might not be so far out of the realm of possibility as you might think. Our guest today is co-author Janice Talmadge, co-authored with Jana Simons, and the book is called The Afterlife Healing Circle, How Anyone Can Contact the Other Side. Hi, Candace, how are you?
Hey, Lisa, I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Now, the first thing I want to talk about, because I think this is one of the most important things that you have in your book, is that connecting with the other side and contacting the other side is a very sacred thing and should be done for the purpose of healing. Can you expand on that?
Well, the problem is that we have a very constricted definition of what is normal, all right? So anything that goes outside of that is called paranormal, and it is trivialized, and it's just considered entertainment or something to do when you're bored. And that can lead to problems because there really is something out there, all right? And not everything out there has benign intentions. So, you know, it's like you wouldn't walk in Central Park alone at 3 a.m, would you? That's not prudent.
Right.
You wouldn't throw open your door, the door of your house to just anyone and say, hey, come on in. Because you don't really know who those people are.
Right.
So if you want to connect with someone who has passed on, who's on the other side, or incidentally, someone who hasn't been born yet, same thing.
Mm.
What you want to do is you want to do it for a purpose, and you want to do it with the intent of benefiting all, you know, the person who's seeking resolution, the person who needs resolution, and the people who help you do it. So it's a group benefit. And yes, you want to do it as a sacred, respectful thing, because there really is something out there, and you want to make sure that the something out there that you connect with is the someone you want.
How did you first become interested in actually contacting the dead? Or, I mean, is this just something you had a dream about and you woke up? Or how did this all happen?
Well, I sort of go into details in my book, but the thumbnail sketch is that once Jana and I got together and started the Sattva Institute, she had students and clients coming to her for classes and therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother of one of these, you know, one of these students knew that her mother had a problem. So Jana talked to the woman and said, well, what you need is this. And it turned out to be the Afterlife Healing Circle, because the woman had been wrestling for 20 years with the death of her mother.
Mm.
This was way back in 1987, and the mother had died in 67.
Okay.
So that was my that was like in April of 87, and that was my first introduction to it. And, you know, what we call the Afterlife Healing Circle is also known as the seance. And a seance is a bastardized and trivialized caricature of what this really is. And the reason it's bastardized and trivialized is because we don't acknowledge or respect the half of self that the Afterlife Healing Circle addresses, and that is the emotional and the spiritual parts of selves. We walk around being mental and physical beings. Mental because we can't ignore our thoughts, and physical because we see the physical body. But that lops off half of who we really are. What we are trying to do is bring the emotional and the spiritual into the physical reality and say that it's not paranormal. It is a part of who we are. And when I went through that Afterlife Healing Circle for this woman, she's in the book, we call her Clara Jones.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most, if I'd had socks on, they would have been blown off, because it was the most amazing experience. Everybody participated. Everybody got something out of it. Clara got a lot. She told me 3 years later that she'd gotten an immense relief from it. And she had gone through traditional psychiatry and then psychotherapy for years and years and years. And they just hadn't been able to resolve this issue because at that time, they didn't acknowledge that the possibility of life, you know, some sort of existence after the death of the physical body. Mm-hmm. I think the fields are a bit more open to that now, and they certainly are admitting that traditional approaches to grief just simply don't work.
And so this healing circle is interactive as well. Because someone might say, well, Candace, you're an empath or you're clairaudient or clairsentient. I'm not going to be able to do this. We need you to do this.
I would say that you have more capabilities than you perhaps recognize because every one of us is psychic. Mm-hmm. And you know that, Lisa. You work in this. You know
Absolutely.
That people are.
Mm-hmm.
But what they do and what you know they do is that they are discounting or ignoring all those intuitive and, psychic, use your favorite label, messages that they get constantly, all right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't recognize what it is, yet it shapes the way they think, it shapes the way they perceive the world, and everybody has at least 4 psychic or intuitive senses.
Mm.
And what you need is first just to practice those senses, recognize them for what they are, and then find someone who's fairly confident, like you would lead a circle, but everybody would participate, but you would just simply, because you're very confident in what you do, you would simply provide the extra boost in love and start the ball rolling. Because the idea in the circle is that everybody gets information. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for them. It seems strange. It's not for them. It's for the person who has come to connect with a soul on the other side. So, of course, it's going to seem weird. Not for you. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
Jana was in a circle, and she could tell that the guy next to her kept getting something, but he wasn't voicing what he was getting. So finally she said, all right, spill the beans, what are you getting? And he said, well, I keep seeing a white picket fence, but it's real weird. It's not upright. It's on its side. And the woman who had come for the circle, who we call the inquirer, gasped and said, now I know that it's my son in the circle.
Mm.
The person she was wanting to connect with. Well, it seems that years before, when her boy was a boy, her son had taken a piece of white picket fence, turned it on its side, and nailed it to a tree trunk so that his dog could join him in his treehouse.
Wow.
Now, that is not something anybody could have made up for a million years. It was unique information that her son, in spirit, knew that his mother would know, and that would give her rational mind some sort of reassurance that indeed the soul in the circle is the soul that she knew as her son.
Right. And this was something that when I was telling my friend that I was going to speak with you, this was actually her question, and I thought it was pretty good. And she said, what if someone feels, in other words, let's say if they feel, I really need to heal this with this loved one that's passed on, but the loved one who's passed on doesn't feel that it needs attention. Will they still show up?
I would imagine that the loved one will show up. The loved one, we had a circle just like that.
Oh,
okay?
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it was an exercise of frustration for everyone, including the soul in question, because the inquirer, the person coming for the circle, definitely had a certain day, a certain moment that meant a great deal to her, but it didn't mean the same thing to the soul. It didn't mean anything. So what that circle can do is help that person understand that things that may mean something to you may not be as big a deal to other people and vice versa. So that's something that you could talk about in the circle and get resolved to that extent. Now, if this is something that is major league bothering the person, then that is a question more for individualized counseling or therapy rather than just a healing circle. There are differences.
Oh, okay. Well, that actually makes a lot of sense to me. And there was one point too that in the book that I thought, oh, that totally, I understand now. And it was when you talked about the fact of, let's say someone, you can't just have a healing circle and go, hey, I want to talk to Michael Jackson. Well, unless there's like there's, you were saying, unless it's part of the family that's there who's connecting because of a healing reason, Michael Jackson's not going to show up at your healing circle.
Right. And here's the reason why. I mean, from the book, you know, say you're walking down the street, you're just minding your own business, and this group of complete strangers says, "Lisa, Lisa, Lisa, Lisa," and you look over and you don't recognize anybody. Would you go over there?
No.
Not likely. You'd head on down the street or go back in the opposite direction going, what do these fools want? That is the same thing that happens when the afterlife healing circle, when the soul is on the other side. Yes, souls can perceive your call. If you are familiar to them, then of course they will come over and say, what is it? I'm here. What do you want? But if they don't know you, then what you're going to get isn't the soul that you want to talk to. It's going to be a Michael, you know, it's going to be a Michael Jackson imposter or an Elvis Presley impersonator.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, impersonator. Because, you know, there's somebody crazy person who believes he's Jesus Christ, okay? I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, if a crazy person dies believing that he's somebody, that doesn't change. That's the problem. What we are in the physical body, we still are when the physical body dies. Not that much changes except that we don't have an anchor into this physical reality. That's what the physical mm-hmm. body is. It's an anchor. It focuses our energy field. That's our feeling of the soul, our thoughts, our emotions, our beliefs. It focuses us into this reality. But absent that, we are still the same being. We just don't have that body that we perceive as physical.
And Candace, can you sort of elaborate for everybody here what receiving a message is like and about how different people can receive messages in different ways?
Well, that has to do with the soul senses, and there are four that we know of. There could be more, okay? I just know of four.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the visual, the clairvoyance, known as clairvoyance, and where you think in pictures or you see auras outside of people. It's visual. Then there is soul feeling or clairsentience. That is where it's vibrations on the physical body, and it's very quick and very rapid.
Mm-hmm.
Usually lumped into clairsentience is a separate, distinct channel of information that we call soul awareness. And that comes in, and it's just like a information dump through the crown chakra, top of your head. And you just know. And people who are very strong in soul awareness go around saying, I know a lot. And the really annoying thing is they usually do. Because it just comes in, you know. And then, of course, there's what's known as clairaudience. We call that soul understanding. You can hear voices outside of your head or inside your head. Or I don't generally tend to hear voices. I just sort of, it's a sequential understanding that unfolds. That's the slowest of the soul senses. Soul awareness is the fastest, soul feeling is next, soul vision is third, and soul understanding is fourth or slowest. And each person is strongest in two, but has all four and is weaker in two others. And it does indeed affect your reality. People who are strong in soul awareness, but not strong in soul vision, tend to be night owls. All right.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, they are, because that energy comes in the crown chakra and they can just boogie all night. You know, they've got their energy source going. But if you are like me, if you're first in clairvoyance or soul vision, then you tend to be a morning person unless it's also hooked with a soul awareness. People who are first or second in soul awareness or soul vision, they have no noticeable sleep pattern.
Oh wow!
They do strange things. Yeah, it's strange things. They can be night people, morning people. In the same week, they can change.
Our producer's like that. He just Remy's like, that's me. Now, can somebody nurture or strengthen one or the other if they're leaning more one way and they're like, oh, I've always wanted to be more visual? Are there ways to strengthen those?
Absolutely. And the thing is that there are reasons that we come in with two stronger, two weaker. They have to do with our issues, our lessons. And what you want to do is you focus on recognizing what your strong ones are, and your spirit guides can help you with that. They know exactly what your order is, okay? If you talk to them, they'll tell you, well, you're first in soul awareness, second in soul feeling, you know, so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hooked to your purpose and it's hooked to your lessons, and you kind of go over that with them before you come in. And you can recognize your strong ones and then start focusing on your weaker ones, because it's really nice to get information through your weaker soul senses. And I can guarantee you that if your guides are really desperate to get through to you, they will go to one of your weaker soul senses, because you will really sit up and pay attention, because that's not the usual way you get information. And it makes you sit up and take notice.
Yeah, it's like trying to, you know, brush your teeth with the opposite hand.
Yes,
you're like, okay,
exactly.
This feels a little weird. I don't really know what I'm doing here.
Yes, and I have to pay attention because this is not my usual routine. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, exactly. So, you know, when Jana was upset, her spiritual growth guide, Yaqui, went to her weakest soul senses and whispered into her ear, but it got her attention. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you know. And you play around, make a game of it, all right? Don't do this when it's hot and heavy and you're all upset, because mm-hmm. you won't trust what you're getting and you'll close down, because the soul senses work the opposite of the mental body. In school, we're taught to focus and concentrate and read and all blah, blah, blah to get information. Well, that's how you get information that you already know. When you want to get non-physical information about thoughts, intent, beliefs, or feelings, you go to those soul senses. I mean, I'm sure that people listening to us have had, many of them have had the experience of walking into a room and going, shoot, this does not feel good, and walking right back out.
Yeah.
And what happens is that intuitively they are picking up on the vibrations of anger and discord that are left over from the argument that was in the room. It does linger.
I think you're
so that's what you're picking up on.
You're picking up on what just happened recently. Yes. I'm like, wow, she's saying exactly what just happened before I came into this room.
that happens all the time, and nobody has cleansed the room. I mean, you can just imagine, see, feel, know, understand that there's a cleansing white cyclone of energy coming in to restore peace and harmony to that room. Mm-hmm. And you can do that any time of day you want to cleanse your environment. And if you're high in soul feeling, you need to cleanse a lot, because soul feeling people get up in the morning and they're all chirpy and cheery and perky, and by noon they're dragging their tails, because all that energy comes right into them. They're strong in that feeling. They pick up on everybody's vibes, and some of those vibes just aren't that great.
Yeah. And if someone wants to know a little bit about starting this, this is why I'm telling you the Afterlife Healing Circle, how anyone can contact the other side. It is a very, what do I call, digestible book. Okay. So this isn't like a huge, you know, thesaurus that you're going to have to read. Easily read, some great stories in here. So this would be a really good way, if you were interested in maybe giving this a try, maybe increasing your own awareness, or you talk a lot also, Candace, about spirituality and the difference between the two as far as spirituality and religion goes, because some people are thinking, I couldn't possibly start doing any of this. It would be against my religion. What would you say to that?
Well, first, I respect that, okay? Mm-hmm. If it bothers them, don't do it. But I would say that what you're really looking at here is different labels for the same thing, all right? It may be a matter of semantics. So I come from the belief in God, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a dogma to go with it, all right? I sort of go like, you know, I think St. Augustine was, who said, love God and do as you please. All right. That's pretty much my credo, if I have one, is I love God. I have free will, and it is up to me to determine my life. Religion, in the sense of the formal things, the sects, the various types of religion, this is man-made dogma. All right. That's all it is, mm-hmm. From my point of view. Spirituality is inherent. You are a soul with a physical body. Whether you choose to embrace your spirituality and explore it, or ignore it and deny it, that's not my thing. I don't, you know, it's none of my business, and it's none of anybody else's business either. So I am perfectly open to people. I would hope that they would try, though, because if their traditional religions could have helped them, they would have when they were in first grieving, all right? But most of the people who we deal with have come out of traditional religions, and they haven't, or they come out of traditional psychiatry and or psychotherapy, and they haven't gotten the resolution and relief that they need. That's why they come to us.
And that's also why, if you want to read the book, The Afterlife Healing Circle, you can have these for yourself. Now, can it be three people or more, does it have to be, or can it be two people that do this?
I would suggest about five or six.
Okay.
All right, don't make it too big. Don't make it too big, because then everybody will think, well, someone else will get that information. I don't have to talk. Yes, you do. You mm-hmm. have to talk. It's part of your job. If you're in the circle, you're there to start talking. and that's great, because what that does is the more you talk and relay it, even if the person says, you know, I really can't tell you what this is, whether this, you know, they have to say, I don't know about it. Because the inquirer will sit there and people will voice information, and the inquirer says yes, no, or I don't know. But even if he or she says no or I don't know, the more you talk in that circle, the more the information flows. And that's good, because that begins to move things. And when things are moving, you'll get the information you need.
Oh, see, I love this. I can't wait to try this with some of my friends. After I finish the book here, I'm gonna do that. We have been speaking with Candace Talmadge, author, co-author of The Afterlife Healing Circle. And I know the healingcirclebook.com, we've got that link up on our website. I know it's on Amazon. So if you've been curious about this, this would be the perfect time to sort of delve in and see. Let's explore. And a great way to start that exploration is by reading the book. We have come to the point of our show we call the RL3, three silly, goofy little questions that we love to torture our guests with. And are you okay with that, Candace?
Oh, sure.
All right. Let's try this one for our first one. People would be surprised to know that I like to listen to blank.
Oh, Neil Diamond.
All right. Sweet. Who cannot sing Sweet Caroline? Come on. have you seen him in concert?
No, I a concert would be too much, but I do enjoy listening to his music.
Really? That's what you were like, I can't handle it. Oh, I love it. All right. Here's this one. This is a good one. If you were offered a seat on the next space shuttle, would you take it?
No.
Now you have to tell us why.
I'm not a happy traveler on Earth, all right? So I don't really think that I would go into space with too much joy either.
I love it. Okay, so there wouldn't be enough Dramamine in the world to get me to go on a space shuttle.
Bingo. Yes, that's exactly my response. That's a good one.
Because I agree with Candace. We're traveling that far out. It would be wasted on me, because I would be sleeping through the whole thing. That would be end of it. What was the last trip you took?
We drove from Texas to California just to move to Santa Cruz. So that's the last trip.
Oh, all right. And here's the third question. We come up with your fantasy name. This is going to be the first pet you ever had. That'll be your first name, along with the street you grew up on. That's your last name. So what is your fantasy name?
My fantasy name would be Portia Place.
Yes, Portia Place. I love it. I think that sounds kind of like maybe a soap opera star or something like that. I think, yeah. The book is called The Afterlife Healing Circle, How Anyone Can Contact the Other Side. We've been speaking with Candace Talmadge. Candace, thank you so much for being with us today, and we appreciate all your time and energy.
Thank you, Lisa. I've enjoyed it immensely.